heart. I want to share some things today that I believe are just proof positive that signs of the times that we are in. And it's not meant to frighten you or it's meant to encourage you. It's meant to encourage you for that the time is short and we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be seeking out the lost. We need to be encouraging our families. We need to be encouraging our friends. We need to be encouraging each other, building one another up, not tearing down, not gossiping and backbiting. No, we need to be lifting one another up. When we see an area of weakness, instead of attacking it, let's lift them up. We've said several things about this church. Prayer is a priority. We're a house of miracles. We're a spiritual hospital. We're a strategic church. And all these things are true. When we were talking about prayer this morning, this came to this. You've heard the phrase, people going around putting out fires, right, in the corporate world or business, putting around. We're too busy going around putting out fires instead of preventing them with prayer. We're too busy putting out the fires in our life, the distractions, the things that are coming, instead of preventing them, which we could easily do with prayer. That is part of why prayer should be a priority in your life and in this church. Because we want to walk it out, not work it out. It's so much easier to walk out the plan of God than it is to work it out in your own might, in your own place, in your own talents. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all can lighten up and smile a little bit because we're going to get into a few things. I do want to share. My notes are right here. Praise God. I want to share what I experienced this past weekend. For those of you who don't know, I work security at the APAC conference, which is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee conference, and it's about U.S. and Israel relations. I have the privilege to go up there and make a little money every year with a pastor friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, Pastor Brian Kingery, and he got me involved in that because he pastors a church up in that area. And so he was sought out. And so I get up there, and I'm telling you, and I asked, you know, at the last minute, I think the week before, for y'all to pray for me for favor. I'm telling you what, y'all must have been praying. I got up there, and it's a big, huge conference, the Washington, D.C. Center. So it's a big, or conference center. It's a huge building. And so we're running security. We got to run security at all the doors, all the entrances and exits. They've got different meetings going on throughout the whole building. So we got to run security at each of those meeting places. They got a big conference hall. We got to run security there. And so we're all usually being moved around from place to place. So we're not in one place all the time. And the worst detail is on the magnetrons, which are the things that, you know, you walk through to see if they got any, you got any guns on you, knives, and you got to be on your feet the whole time. And we're working, you know, 16-hour days typically when we're up at 4:30, 5 in the morning working, and we don't get back to the hotel until about 11:30. So it's a long day, and to be on your feet, that's a long time. But praise God, I had favor. I was able to be up in the grand ballroom, which where all the important meetings are going on all day long. And they provide you a seat so you can actually sit. So I actually came home refreshed because of the information that was being shared. And I was able to rest a little bit by sitting down. But some very cool things. Got to listen to some very high-ranking officials. In fact, I think I've got, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I've got some pictures. If you'll throw those first three pictures up there, just one at a time, obviously. Anybody recognize that, who that is? Nikki Haley. She is the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. permanent ambassador to the UN. She is making some waves in the UN. If y'all haven't heard or been in the news, you know, she is in the news a lot about her support for Israel and making the U.S., I don't want to say agenda, but the known to the UN. It hasn't been yet. That position has not taken a stance like she has since she's been in office there for just over a year. What's the next one? That was going to be the last one, but I didn't put them in order. That's my fault. You can't see the speaker. You can just see my fat head right in the middle of it there. But that is Benjamin Netanyahu up on the platform. He was the last speaker of the evening, the keynote speaker. And that's how close. So it's really cool. I hope y'all don't mind me divulging into my story here a little bit. But so in this grand ballroom, I'd say it seats about 10,000 people. And they have concentric seats lined up, if that's the right word. And half moon. And so different sections are different levels, and they have colored lanyards, and they can only go to certain levels. That inner section right in front of me, that's where my post was, right behind them. They have to donate $100,000 to be able to sit in that area. And now it's not just to sit at this conference, you know, don't think like this conference costs them $100,000. It's donation for the year to be a member of AIPAC and what it all goes to. So I was blessed in order to get that close to Netanyahu, and it's really cool. There's one quick story I want to share about one of the fellow security guards. She was guarding the entrance and exit to the backstage, and there was Israeli Secret Service there, of course, with Benjamin Netanyahu. And stand up, Gene, for just a second. No, actually, stand up, Judy, please. No, Gene, I'm sorry. I don't want... Yes, Gene. So Gene is this... Turn around and face them. Gene's this individual guarding the exit and entrance into the backstage back here. There's an Israeli Secret Service standing like this behind that security guard the entire time. And she would like... She's like a little... He's male, she's female. She was a little uncomfortable. She would step up a little bit, Gene. She would step up a little bit. He'd come right up. But what I was told is a tech that's like a human shield almost. It's basically, but they had submachine guns strapped to their backs. Wow. And then my friend Brian, he was on the other exit. And you can sit down. Thank you for... She wasn't as tall as you, so she was probably more my height. And the guard that he was beside stood right beside him. I mean, touching. And had two pistols, I don't know what they were, one here, and sat there like this the entire time Netanyahu was up there. I mean, ready to draw. So, I mean, as you know, and we'll get into some of this because of the announcements that were made, they were on high alert. But it was really, it's a tremendous time. I don't just see it as, you know, running security. I see it as being able to get close. How many people would be able to get that... I didn't have to pay $100,000 to get that close to Netanyahu. In fact, they paid me to get that close to Netanyahu. But what's another picture up there? Nope. Nope. Keep going, please. Mike Pence. Got to see Vice President Mike Pence. He was up there, and there were other high-ranking officials, Mitch McConnell, several others that the names escape me at this moment, but we got to see some pretty cool stuff. And so why am I going through all this? Why am I telling, it's not just, you can take the pictures down, thank you. It is not because I wanted to tell you about me working security detail at some conference in D.C. It is about things getting in alignment with what is happening in the earth today. So you ask, why are you going on about Israel and why do you attend AIPAC? Why do you do that? Why do we support Israel? You know, these are important things for you as the body of Christ to understand. How many even know where Israel is? Raise your hand if you know where Israel is. I'm telling you, there was a time I didn't. I mean, I'd gone to college and there was a time I didn't know where Israel. Didn't even care about Israel. Didn't even, you know. Understand the whole, you hear the conflict of the Middle East in the news all the time, and you're thinking to yourselves, I know you are, why are they always talking about the Middle East? Why? Why is every news channel, every newspaper always talking about the conflict of peace in the Middle East? Why isn't there peace? When are they going to come to peace? How are they going to negotiate peace? Why? Why? Because Israel, listen to me. The Bible says it'll be a cup of trembling in the last days. As Israel goes, that is how basically what I'm saying, Israel is the time clock of God. So why do we look at Israel? Why should we support Israel? Well, we're going to talk about that. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, I'll have some other pictures. I didn't put them in order. That was my fault. I kind of gave you a foretaste of some things that I want to talk about. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Let me read them out of the Amplified. Why do we support Israel? Why is it important to understand what is going on in the Middle East, to understand what is happening to Israel? Well, if you look in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now in Haran the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, go your own advantage way, from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you." So God is going to point out a land to Abram. Of course, his name has not been changed yet. We're talking about Father Abraham here. He says, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." So Abram departed, as the Lord had directed him, and Lot his nephew went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the persons, the servants, that they had acquired in Haran, and they went forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the locality of Shechem, to the oak of terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your posterity." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he pulled up his tent pegs and departed to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So you can see, God spoke to Abram. Throw up that first map image, please. I don't know if you can see this, and I meant to have my pointer out, so I'll use my pointer. Can y'all can't read those names, can you? This is Israel. This is modern day, this is Israel here in this area. And this is Bethel right here. This is where God said he spoke to Abram. And that is Ai. He said, remember, Bethel was on the west and Ai was on the east. So right there. And there is Shechem where he first spoke to him. And then there was where he put his tent. You can see this is the Dead Sea. You can see that blue image, right? That is the land of Israel. Now put on that other image, the same image with the overlay. I was hoping these would be a little bit clearer. It's the same image, just has some red overlay on it. Is it in there? It's not in there? Okay. Well, basically that red image overlay showed you the modern border of Israel. So down here somewhere you have the Gaza Strip. Over here is the West Bank. Jerusalem. You can see this is Salem. You all have heard the story about the king of Salem. Who is that? I heard somebody say it, Melchizedek, who Abraham met and gave a tenth of all that he had. That's Salem. That's Jerusalem there. So you can see it's just south. And why am I doing this? I'm giving you a picture of why we look at Israel. Why should we support Israel as a nation? Why should we pray for Israel? And you saw it right there in verse 3. It says, "And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you." Those that bless Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they changed Jacob's name to Israel. God spoke to Abraham, showed him the land of Canaan, exactly where he was to dwell. That is modern day Israel. God gave them the land. He was the one that gave the land to the Israelites, to the Jewish nation. That is the same borders that we're looking at as when God spoke to him at Bethel and Ai, or in Shechem. This is why we support Israel. The word says, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." We are to be a blessing to Israel as a nation. Individually, you should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. That is why we support Israel. That is why I count it an honor to be able to attend that conference and hear some of these things that people pay good money to be at and hear. We support them to be blessed and not cursed. The land of Israel is where it all started. It is the promised land. When you talk about the promised land, when we talk about the promised land in the Bible, you know, I know we use that figuratively about going over to the promised land, and some associate that with heaven. But the promised land is what was promised to Abraham by God some 4,000 years ago. So why? Why is there conflict over this little tiny piece? They say, I think it's close to the size of New Jersey. Why is there such conflict over this little tiny piece of land? It's the promised land. It's God's chosen people are the Hebrew people, or the Jews, or the Jewish nation. And that is why throughout history, they have been grossly persecuted. Even here in this country, there is anti-Semitism. And that big word just means anti-Jews. And that was propagated back, you know, and I'm not going to get into the history of that. But the Jewish people have been constantly persecuted. Why? Because they are God's chosen people. Now, what does that mean about us? We're going to get into that in just a minute. This is kind of like a little history lesson, okay? Don't fall asleep on me. I know history can get boring. This is not boring history. This is your history. This is Christian heritage and why we must understand the Jewish nation and what role they play in the big picture with God. Amen? The Jews in Nazi Germany, World War II, over 6 million were murdered. I've been there. I was in Germany for 4 months. I toured Auschwitz, one of the death camps where they burned Jewish people. I've been to the bombed out barricades of Nazi high command. I've been there. I've read personal testimonies of survivors that have come out of that. It did happen. I know there's some people out there that want to believe that was a myth. But why? Why? Why were they so against this people? Turn to Romans chapter 3. And why should we love and pray for the Jewish nation? Why? Why should we do that? Why? Because we want to be blessed as a nation. That's why our nation supports Israel. We want to be blessed as a people. That's why we should support Israel and pray for Israel. In Romans chapter 3, verse 1, it says, then what advantage remains to the Jew? He's talking, you know, about how the Jews follow the law and that we're under grace and we now have access by grace through faith. He says, well, what advantage remains to the Jew? How is he favored? Or what is the value or benefit of circumcision? Circumcision was the outside covenant that Abraham made with God to say that, you know, I will follow and believe in you. And so he wanted to circumcise all his males at the eighth day. But anyway, so that was the outward sign of the covenant of the Jewish nation with God. He says, what value or benefit of circumcision? In other words, what value or benefit is it to be a Jew? He says, much in every way. To begin with, to the Jews were entrusted the oracles, the brief communications, intentions, and utterances of God. To the Jews, the oracles of God were entrusted. That is what the advantage of being a Jew is. They were God's chosen people. Chosen, set apart for Him to accomplish His will in this earth. They were entrusted the oracles of God. God, through Moses, gave them the law, but now we, by the blood of Jesus and the grace of God through faith, have been grafted into that chosen people. We have been grafted in. In the Bible, it talks about we are the wild olive branch that has been grafted into the natural olive tree. In fact, let's turn to Romans 11. I really want to get you a good picture of this. Pastor Todd, why are we talking about a land that is so far away? Why are we talking about individuals that don't believe what we believe about Jesus being the Messiah who has been here already? See, they're still waiting. The Jewish nation is still, they believe in a Messiah. They just believe he hasn't come yet. They're still waiting. They are still waiting. So I want to give you just a glimpse into what I believe is how God's eye sees the Jewish nation, to give you food for thought and how you should view the Jewish nation. Amen? Where did I say? Romans 11? Why am I in Corinthians then? I want to read this. I'm going to read out of King James just because the Amplified gets a little wordy. And I don't want to lose you if I haven't already, so I want to read it out of the King James, Romans 11, to give you an insight of how God views the Jewish people. Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1 says, say then, hath God cast away his people? He's talking again about the Jewish nation here. In fact, let me back up to verse 20. It kind of gives us a context. Verse 20 in chapter 10. Says, but Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. He's talking about us there, the Christians. He says, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And then verse 1 and 11, he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. This is Paul talking here. I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Jewish Pharisee. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. In other words, they're doing all these bad things. They're tearing down your altars. They're seeking after me, the prophet of God, that is trying to warn them and tell them about the things of God, and they seek his life as well. Verse 4 says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. He's basically saying, grace is the way. Amen? Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber eyes, and they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Through the fall of the Jewish nation, salvation has come unto us. Amen? For why? To provoke the Jewish nation, the jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Are y'all getting this? I should have prayed that the Holy Spirit give you ears to hear what he is saying beforehand. But I believe that you are anointed to receive this word and understand it. And then he's talking about the Jewish nation. If some of the branches be broken off, right? And thou, being a wild olive tree, us, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, Christians. Boast not against the Jewish nation. Amen? Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, if he spared not those Jewish that Jewish nation that were in unbelief, if he spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. Listen, this is talking about the Jews. If they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. He's talking about a mystery here. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, and blindness in part is happening to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's us. The fullness of the church be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The Father loves them. They are his chosen people. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He called them as his chosen people. He cannot repent. He cannot turn away from them. all Israel shall be saved. So why should we care about Israel? Why should we pray for Israel? Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Well, I've got some interesting thoughts of why we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In fact, in the conference, every speaker that got up on that stage mentioned the word peace in the Middle East, or peace for Jerusalem. Why? Why? Because they are praying out prophecy. How was Jesus brought into this earth? He was spoken into this earth. Was it the plan of God? Yes, but he was spoken into this earth by the prophets of old. There's prophecy that says there will be peace in Israel. But you know when that will happen? Right before the tribulation period. Right before the 7 years of Jacob's trial, when we will see tribulation like we've never seen on the earth, but peace will come first. You know, most Bible scholars that teach this and search it out believe that there's a 7-year tribulation period, and it's the trying of Israel. It's the trying of the Jewish nation. It's not the trying of the world, okay? That is a misconception. People think that it's going to be terrible throughout the whole world. It will be bad, yes. There will be, but it's the trying of the nation of Israel. And I don't want to get into the time clock and Daniel's 70 weeks. We don't have time for that. You're just going to have to trust me and search it out for yourself. But there will be a time of peace in Israel. And then in 3.5 years, there will be a desolation of desecration on the altar, and I'm going to show you some things that are pretty interesting that are happening, where the Antichrist will come in to the temple of God, and he will say, "I am God." He will set himself up as God, and there will be people that worship him as God, and they will receive a mark. You've heard the mark of the beast. Everybody's heard about that. They won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast in your forehead and your right hand. This is not a message of doom and gloom. This is a message of encouragement. So there will be a time of peace. So what is happening? These people, unbeknownst to them, I believe, are speaking forth prophecy in the earth by calling for peace in Jerusalem, by calling for peace in Israel. They, just like Jesus was spoken into the earth, they are speaking prophecy to be fulfilled. They are going out ahead, just like we talk about with prayer. You know, just like that statement, you know, we're too busy putting out fires instead of preventing them with prayer by going out. We've been talking in class about going out ahead of things with prayer and preparing the ground, preparing the path with prayer. And then when we prepare it with prayer ahead of time, we can walk those things out, the plan of God out. We don't have to work it out. Work is work. It means labor. It means toil. Walking in the plan of God is easy. What would you rather do? Work it out or walk it out? Well, you better be praying then. You better be praying out ahead, you know, seeking God for things ahead, for your life, for this church, for the body of Christ. Amen? Did I get sidetracked? So, all these speakers that have come, that were coming, were talking about peace, peace, peace. I mean, it got to where it was just peace, peace. They all want peace. They are, listen to me, bringing help. They are helping to bring things in alignment for the last days. And we need to be doing the same thing in the church. We need to be getting ourselves in alignment, one with our assignment, what God has called us to do specifically, one as a body here at Christian Growth Center, what he has called us to do specifically in this valley, and one as a body of Christ universally, what he has called us to do in this world. Now, don't get stuck on the world part, right? That seems overwhelming and too big. How can I impact the world? Well, start in your house. Start in your community. That is how you can impact the world. Amen? We love Israel because they gave us the oracles of God, and because of their stumbling, we Gentiles benefit. But God says that all Israel will be restored, and it says in verse 12 in the Amplified, to an even greater advantage will they be restored. So why are we talking about this? Again, it's because things are getting in alignment. That's the word that God gave me for this year, the year of alignment. Things are getting in alignment. I believe that the Holy Spirit is dealing with each one of you to get in alignment with your assignment that He has for you. I believe He's dealing with this church to get this church in alignment. I believe He's dealing with the body of Christ to get the body of Christ in alignment for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart. I wouldn't be up here so enthusiastic about it if I didn't believe. Amen? And we must recognize the times, right? Didn't Jesus say that? You know, condemning the religious fact, the Jewish religious fact of that time. I think I don't know if he's talking to the Pharisees or Sadducees at the time, but he was saying, you can discern the sky. You can tell when a storm is coming. You can tell when it's going to rain, but you cannot determine the times, the spiritual times that you are in. He was condemning them. You can see these natural things, but you cannot find out what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. Why? Because the Messiah is sitting right before you and you don't even recognize Him. That's basically what he was saying. Peace. Peace in the Middle East. Talking about peace and talking about the tribulation, but a peace treaty must be signed. And before that happens, though, a third temple must be built. If you know Bible history, the Solomon's Temple was built to house the Ark of the Covenant. If you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, just Google it. You can get all kinds of information about it. But the Ark of the Covenant is what contains the Ten Commandments, the original stone tablets, the budding rod of Aaron, and a bowl of manna, which fed the Israelites in the wilderness. That's all in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant would go before the army of Israel. And that's how they secured victory, basically, because God was going before them. That's where God, His presence was, and they would go before them. And so the temple was built. Plans were given to King David. He wasn't able to build it, but his son Solomon did, and that's where, before they had met and housed it in the tent of the tabernacle, which was just a tent, but they built a permanent structure, a temple. And that is where the Ark of the Covenant was housed, in the Holy of Holies. Well, that temple was destroyed. King Solomon's temple was destroyed, or at least ruined. And King Herod built the second temple. He rebuilt it, brought it back to life. It was glorious. That was the one that Jesus, you know, they walked by and his disciples said, look how glorious this temple is. Look how magnificent it is. Isn't it magnificent to behold? And that's when Jesus said, you know, beware, you know, in 3 days this temple will be torn down. He's talking about his body, but the temple was torn down in 70 AD. The Romans tore that temple down. There must be a third temple. Why? Because the Antichrist must come into that temple and declare himself God. So we know that. We know that there must be a third temple built. Why am I telling you all this? Do you know they've minted a coin in Israel? They minted it, and they're calling it the temple coin. I mean, I cannot make this stuff up. This is real. Put that coin image up, if you would, Rai. They've minted, and then turn that, yeah. So this is the backside of the coin, and that's a rendition of the third temple. They have prepared all the implements of the temple, getting ready to bring the old covenant to life with sacrifices, animal sacrifices, the Levitical priesthood, all the, you know, the table of showbread, the menorah, the altar of incense, the lavern where they wash their hands. You can tell what shows I grew up with, right? Working on that. line. So they've minted a coin. This is in February 28th, Associated Press. I'm not making this stuff up. You can Google it and see for yourself. It says an Israeli organization has minted a coin bearing President Donald Trump's image to honor, and this is the part I want to get to as well, to honor his recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Y'all have heard about that. It's been in the news. Unless you're under a rock, you haven't heard that. The Mikdash Educational Center says that the temple coin features Trump alongside King Cyrus. Flip it around. Throw that other image up there. Trump is in the forefront. King Cyrus in the background. If you don't know who King Cyrus is, I'm getting ready to tell you. He was a Babylonian king. Lived some 2,500 years ago. King Cyrus was the one who released the Israelites from 70 years of captivity in Babylon. He was a heathen king whom God used to release the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. Rabbi Mordecai Persos says that Trump, like Cyrus, made a big declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of the holy people. The heathen king Cyrus released the Israelites after 70 years of captivity to go back to Jerusalem. President Cyrus Trump. Listen to this. Has announced that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. And he announced it 50 years after the anniversary of the Six-Day War, which when the Israelites originally captured and back Jerusalem. But more importantly, he has said that he is moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in recognition of this. Now, people thought this was going to take years because they had to build a building, right? They announced at that conference that that embassy was going to be in May. And why is May important? It is the 70th anniversary of Israel becoming a nation in 1948. You cannot make this stuff up, people. You can't. 70 years, after 70 years of captivity, the king of Persia, King Cyrus, releases the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem. 70 years after Israel becomes a state nation again. I'm not going to call him king, but President Trump says that that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. And he's moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Things are lining up. Why am I sharing? Things are lining up to usher in the end of the age. Why is that important to us? Because we need to be encouraged. Prophecy, this is what prophecy does for me. It does not scare me at all. It brings a sense of urgency to me that I need to be about my Father's business. It brings a sense of urgency that I need to be talking to my family members that aren't saved, that need to be saved. I need to be talking to my friends that aren't saved, that are dying and going to hell unless the word of God be brought to them. It's a sense of urgency to be talking to anybody that the Lord puts in my path, because it's by no accident that people are put in our paths. He opens those doors for us. And we must walk through them. And we must be about our Father's business. That is why I'm sharing all these things. To help you. To encourage you. The time is short. And I know, you've heard, Jesus was supposed to come back in 1988. I think they had all these reasons why he was going to come back in 1988. Well, you know what? In my mind, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you want to believe that, thank God those people who thought that, I bet they were about their Father's business getting people in line And how many souls were won to the kingdom of God because of that? But I think things, you know, we are to recognize the signs of the times. And even at the conference, listen to this, Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer is his name, he compared President Trump to King Cyrus. That is why we must be about our Father's business. That's why we must get in alignment with our assignment in this earth. It stirs me up to see how close we are to the return of Jesus. It really does. And you know, you can say, well, if we're that close, if Jesus is on his way, why not just sit here and wait? Well, God doesn't call us to sit and wait. He says to occupy until he comes. He says to be active about his business until he comes. He says to be saving souls until he comes. He says to be preaching his word until he comes. He says, don't be ashamed of the gospel, or I'll be ashamed of you. My Father will be ashamed of you. So we must be about our Father's business. We must be talking about the things of God, about Jesus and what he did for us, how he died on Calvary. And we're getting ready in a few weeks to celebrate Resurrection Sunday and what all that means. The great investment that he made with his life for you and me and the entire world that needs to know him. And we need to be telling them. I know we get distracted. I know that there are things in life we think are so important. I know there's fires raging all over the place, and we're going around stomping this one out. As soon as that one's out, we go over here and stomp this one out, and the devil sets one over here, and we're going to stomp that one out. But if you go out ahead of him in prayer, you won't be around stomping fires out. You'll be walking on the path that God has prepared ahead of time for you in this earth, doing exactly what his will is for your life. That is why I talk and am so interested in prophecy. You know, I saw a debate. It wasn't really a debate. Perry Stone versus Irwin Baxter. Did I share this? No. They were on TBN, I think, or CBN, TBN, in one of those three-letter stations. And, you know, one was arguing pre-tribulation. The other one was arguing post-tribulation for the rapture. Irwin Baxter believes post-tribulation. Perry Stone believes pre-tribulation. They were giving their references and their scriptures and talking back and forth. Very polite. I mean, it wasn't like they were at each other. And then finally, it was funny, Paul Crouch speaks up and says, you know what? We just need to be ready. We just need to be ready. I don't care if you believe pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. You just better be ready. You better be ready, and you better be occupying the land while you're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Whether we are escape the tribulation time or whether we go through it, just be ready. Because if we're going through it, God will grace us to get through it. Amen. If we're going away ahead of time and celebrate the wedding feast with the supper of the Lamb, you know, if you believe, praise God, what a joyous time. Just be ready. Understand the times. See the signs and be ready. And occupy. Occupy till he comes. Tony, that's why I believe that word came forth this morning. And I didn't mean to put you under pressure. I believe me, I struggled within myself whether to share that with you personally or publicly. And I believe it had to be public. Because now we're all witnesses to hold you accountable. Me and Tony go back a long way, not real, real long, but Tony was commissioned to take a church in Withfield, a PH church up to pastor a church. I didn't commission, but pastor a church, and Nikki and I at the time, we were going to Christian Growth Center. We all were, Tony and I and Nikki, we're all going to Christian Growth Center, and he took a church, pastor a church in Withfield, and Nikki and I felt led to go with them to do that work. And so we did that anyways. We have passed, so I can joke around with them a little bit. But it is serious. The call is serious. And I believe the Holy Spirit is calling out to many people in the body of Christ that have gone into the reserves, let's say. And it is a time of war that is approaching, and that war is the war that has been a war since Adam fell, the war between good and evil. It's coming to a strategic tipping point. And I believe God is calling all his soldiers. He's calling on all his soldiers for such a time as this. And he's placed a gift in you. And he needs that gift. He needs it. He's placed a gift in all of us. He's placed a purpose. He's given us a purpose. And we need to be busy about finding out what that purpose is in life. And I hate to be the one to tell you, but it's not sitting in front of your TV for 3 hours a day. It's not even going to work, though that's a big part of it. Listen, I'm not saying don't work. I'm saying keep it all in perspective. Keep first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all those things that you are working and laboring to provide for yourself, he will provide it. He will. And it may be through your job. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. I knew a brother, good friends of ours. They both college educated, had great jobs. And the thing about it, they were reaching people in their jobs. You know, they were able to talk about the things of God in their job. You know, with individual. You see what I'm saying? Felt that they were called to drop everything and go into full-time ministry. Traveling, evangelists, if you will. It didn't work out so good for them. I don't know. I'm not judging them. They missed it somewhere. Not that they didn't have a call, it might have just been timing. But what I'm saying is you have a call. God has a plan for you. And if you will give him first place, oh, he'll provide for you like you could never even imagine. Never even imagine. And why? He wants to bless you to be a blessing. He wants to encourage you and give you the things of God so that you can give that to other people. There is a hell, and there'll be people in it. There is a heaven, and I pray we all here will be in it. But there are so many that we could save from that hell and bring them with us. Don't we want to do that? Don't let that scripture be fulfilled that the love of each other has waxed cold in their heart. We want to love one another. We don't want to be hard towards one another. We want to be encouraging to one another. We want the words of our lips to be edifying. And if they're not edifying, you keep them to yourself. Now, I'm not talking about maybe a word of correction that can sound harsh in the moment. But it's out of love because you want to see that person increase or you want to see them leave that thing that's bound itself to them behind. But let's walk in love towards one another. Amen. And let's walk in love towards our fellow man. We don't agree with those things that some of them do, but it's not the person you're battling. You understand that, right? It's not flesh and blood. It's powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what you were battling. And that is part of why prayer is a priority. Because we are going out into the realm of the Spirit and doing our battle in prayer so that it can manifest in the physical. So that we're not spinning our wheels battling that individual. You see, we think we're striving against someone's personality. We think we're striving against, oh, that's just how they were raised. No, you are battling in the heavenlies for that soul. That's how important it is. Yeah, people do things we don't like all the time. But it's not the individual. It's not the person. It's the Spirit driving them. How many love Israel now? We're to love Israel. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're to pray for the Jewish nation. And, you know, I have my theories about the Jewish nation because someone asked me, in fact, at that conference, one of the organizers of the security team, he's Egyptian by heritage, in fact, speaks fluent Arabic, but he's a Christian. And so he said, you know, I see at these conferences, they have pastors, Christian pastors go up there and just celebrate Israel and how much we love Israel. Why, you know, don't they know that they're deceived? That they don't have Jesus? And so we had a little talk. And hopefully we shared some things that helped him see why Israel is important and why we should love and pray for Israel. And Scripture says all of Israel will be saved. I have my ideas about that. You study it out and see what God says to you about it. But all I'm saying is keep your eye. If you want to know, if you want to stay in tune with the sign of the times, if you want to stay in tune with the end of the age, keep your eye on Israel and what's going on with Israel. There have been, I could share some of so many prophecies that have been fulfilled since 1948 and Israel being reborn as a nation. And maybe that'll be for another time, I don't know. But now is not the time for us to rest on our laurels, but to get motivated and active with winning souls into the kingdom. And to study, to show yourself approved. You know, you can't just go by what I say, right? I've told you before, you've got to compare every word I say with what is in this Bible right here. You have got to. You've got to seek it out for yourself. This book does you. This is such a tremendous gift and resource to the body of Christ. But it does you no good sitting on your shelf collecting dust. I know how hard it is to open it up and read. Trust me, I know. But you must. It is a must. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. It's not even a suggestion. It is a command. Not from me, from God. You must open this book. You must read what's in its pages. You must pray that the Spirit gives you ears to hear what He is saying to you through these pages. It must become revelation. I think I can say this. I don't believe you can get revelation of the Word of God just by hearing people speak about it. Now, let me clarify that. I believe that you can enhance your revelation of the Word of God by hearing people speak about it. Does that make sense? In other words, if all you do is listen to me and listen to other speakers, the depth of your revelation is very limited compared to if you read the Word and then you hear the speaker expound on it, then deeper revelation can come. Does that make sense? Well, y'all think about that one. So, where are we at with today? I don't know how many got here early. I'm telling you what, people are going to want to come early now. And I have to make a confession. And I want to repent before you all about this specific thing. How many of you know Brother Hagin, who Kenneth Hagin was? Since passed away, since died, gone to heaven. I remember watching videos of him. You know where I'm going. I remember watching videos of him staggering around and had to be held up by his staff or whoever. And I remember, and this was years and years ago, and I'm repenting. I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, what a show. How pitiful that is to be showful, boastful, showful, however you want to say it, stumbling around like you're drunk. Well, I'm repenting. And I haven't had this thought for a long time, but what happened this morning, if you didn't see it, that anointing came on me. Wanda laid her hands on me and prayed for the fire of God, and it came on me. And Dusty was, I was stumbling around like a drunk. And listen, you don't know me if you think I do things for show. I don't do things like that for show. That I could not control it. Dusty was walking me around like a little child. But there was a fire inside of me. That anointing was inside of me. And I believe I ministered to some of y'all. I may not remember. So what am I saying? Don't. And I think a word, and I'm going to go back and listen to the word that came forth several weeks ago. I believe we're typing it up. But the main, do not be dismayed. Do not be dismayed by some of the things you may see that are coming forth in these last days. Because signs and wonders and miracles must occur, I believe. They are the calling card of God. You know, Billy Graham, great, tremendous man of God that won many, many, countless souls to the kingdom. That error, that season, I'm not going to say it's past, but it has waned. Those great days of tent revivals and his just preaching. I believe that we are in such a state in the body of Christ in these last days that we need an awakening. I mean, on the scope of reformation, where we need to just completely be turned around. And I believe, this is my conviction, that signs, wonders, miracles will be the calling card in these last days to get the attention of the world. To get the attention of the world. And let me tell you, it is not for inside these four walls only. In fact, the majority of it should be happening out there in the streets, in the marketplace. So if you came early, you got a glimpse of that. So I'm repenting about my former thoughts about Brother Hagin and that display of the anointing. Because it has happened to me personally. And don't be dismayed if you see more of that occurring. I'm not talking in me. I'm talking about it in you guys. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. I didn't want to give you that word. I was trembling to give it. But time is short, and we must be about our Father's business. And it's important, and it's serious times. And that don't mean we can't have fun in the middle of it. Laughter is good medicine. There's nothing wrong with laughing. You can laugh right in the face of the devil. Amen. But time is short, and we need to be about our Father's business. And I hope that I have given you a glimpse. If you didn't know or understand, Israel's role in or their association with the body of Christ, the Christians. I hope I've given you a peek into that, and I hope that you'll research it and search it out for yourself as time goes on, so that you can develop a love. We got a banner right there. It says Israel, America. Faith. Maybe we ought to have faith in between the two. I don't know. But we support Israel. We love Israel. We pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, know that you're praying out prophecy. You're speaking the word into the earth. Amen? Y'all blessed today? Be encouraged.